The first scripture is from the book of Psalms, and it's titled The Psalm of David When He Was in the Wilderness of Judah. Listen carefully for the word of God here. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as a dry and weary land where there is no water. Though I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help. In the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. The New Testament reading is from the book of Luke, 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Listen carefully. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way that they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will perish as they did." Of those 18 who were killed, or when those 18 were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will perish just as they did. And then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" And the gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Listen and appreciate the word of the Lord.
Thank you, John. And no, I would never want to step on the scriptures. But Todd and Kim's music just got me hopping up there. Thank you, Todd and Kim. Let us pray. Lord God, as we reflect upon your holy word this morning, we ask that your spirit work within us and amongst us so that what I say and what all of us ponder in our hearts might be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I was struggling with some significant questions this week. Questions like, why do we call that time of day when the traffic moves the slowest, rush hour? Or why do we call freight moved by ship cargo, but freight moved by wheels shipments? Think about it. Or why do we call where we park our cars the driveway, but where we drive our cars the parkway? Okay, these are some fun, meaningless questions that come to us from time to time, don't they? But then there are the questions that come to us that are not so meaningless, the bigger questions of life. Like, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? Or why are things so difficult for me? Or perhaps most especially, Why do good people suffer? These are basic questions of human existence, questions that have bothered humans since the dawn of time. So it shouldn't come as a surprise that people, on more than one occasion, confronted Jesus with questions like this, especially the last one. Why do good people suffer? We can almost hear this question asked in our lesson that John read this morning. Why did those people get killed during their worship in the temple? The ones that Pilate had killed is the question that Jesus seems to be answering in his response. While we don't know the details of this incident beyond what is told to us in our reading, it is clear enough that it was a gruesome affair. And then another tragedy is brought up to us by Jesus, that a tower collapses, causing the death of 18 people. We don't know why Pilate did what he did, and we don't know anything about the tower collapsing and killing the bystanders, but whatever the details are, such tragedies make people wonder. Why do things like this happen? And it shouldn't surprise us that people brought such questions to Jesus, seeking his answers to these seemingly unanswerable questions. It is the same sort of question that we bring to God all the time. Why did so many people die on 9/11? Why do we have to endure the pandemic? Why is God allowing there to be a war in Ukraine? Why did those worshipers die? Why do you ask? And to be honest, the death of those worshipers is confronting. It doesn't square easily with our understanding of God, a God who intervenes for God's chosen people, who lives and protects them, and who surely would not allow the holy temple to be violated. It is no wonder that such questions were being asked of Jesus. For such questions address a fundamental human problem for us, don't they? It confronts our most basic and fundamental moral intuition that bad things like this just don't happen to decent people. Deep down, we all sense this, that good should be rewarded and evil punished, and that bad things should only happen to bad people. Good, clean living, hardworking people like us should somehow be protected from all those bad things that happen out there. And within us somewhere, we want this to be the way of the world. And yet, this does not square with how we experience the world, does it? Indeed, incidents like the collapsing tower or Pilate's brutality confront us, and not only as intellectual questions, but as fundamental issues, basic to who we are and what we thought the world would be. At its most fundamental level, they remind us that we are vulnerable, and that is not a comfortable place to be. Which is why people were bringing these questions to Jesus. Surely these people must have done something to deserve God's punishment. And whatever these victims did, the questioners wanted reassurance that they weren't doing it. The victims must have done something bad, so that is why bad things happened to them. And so, as they brought the questions to Jesus, they had to be thinking, and since I'm not a bad person, these things won't happen to me, right, Jesus? And that is what they wanted to hear from Jesus. They wanted to hear that these things wouldn't happen to them. But Jesus wouldn't give them that answer. Jesus won't assure them that they are safe from the tragedy and evil. Instead, he reminds the people that they are not any different than the victims. They do not have any special elevated status that will protect them from earthly pain. Centuries later, St. Augustine reflected on this reality in writing The City of God. During the great suffering that occurred when the barbarians sacked Rome, Augustine noted that Christians suffered just as much as everyone else. What Augustine did note was that, quote, Christians differ from pagans not in the ills that befall them, but in what they do with the ills that befall them. And this was Jesus' point to his questioners. In essence, he was telling them that they are asking the wrong question. They should not be asking why of these things as much as they should ask about what are they going to do about them. Being a disciple is not about what happens to you. It is about what you do with what happens to you. For Jesus, this meant repenting or getting oneself right with God. Jesus is forcing all of us to ask ourselves what sort of Christians we are and what sort of fruit we are producing. Jesus concludes this dialogue with a story of a fig tree that isn't bearing any fruit. Rip it up, the boss says to the gardener, but the gardener says, give me one last shot. Let me care for it and see if it doesn't produce something worthwhile. Jesus is reminding his disciples that we are all fig trees called to bear fruit, and we are all given the chance to bear that fruit. The life of discipleship is about preparing for the future, bearing fruit that will nourish the world, even if it is a world we can't control or even fully understand. Facing the reality of the mystery and the limits of what we can know about God's universe is not an excuse to stand still for Jesus. Jesus is on a mission, and those who would be his disciples are on a mission with him. We may not know the why of the tragedy and evil, but we know the what. And the what is what we are going to do to comfort those who are suffering. Christian scholar Benjamin Elijah Mays once said, faith is taking your best step and leaving the rest to God. In this passage from Luke, Jesus is taking his own steps towards Jerusalem and the fulfillment of his ministry on the cross. And we who are following him are told that we need to take our steps as well. I learned just yesterday that in the Presbyterian Church, this is Fred Rogers Day. It happens to be the anniversary of his birthday. Fred Rogers, Presbyterian pastor and children's TV icon. With his birthday today, it seems appropriate to think a moment about him. And he was asked once on how to talk to children about tragedies that happen in the world. How do you talk to them? How do you explain it to them? And his answer was to say that, tell them what my grandmother told me. Whenever you see something terrible happening in your neighborhood or on TV, look for the helpers. There will always be helpers. For you see, that was Jesus' message to us, to be the helpers in the world. We can think about and worry about and wonder about and agonize over why these terrible things happen. But if it causes us to stand still, then we've missed the point, haven't we? We may think about those questions, but Jesus tells us to move on, to bear fruit, and be the helpers in the world. Amen.